Cuba, of course, is also home to the U.S. detention facility at Guantanamo Bay. Our next story on the world is about the first ever diary published by a detainee who is still being held there. It's called simply Guantanamo Diary, and it's a story of 44-year-old Mohamedou Ould Slahi. He's from a small town in Mauritania in West Africa, got a scholarship to study in Germany. In 1990, he went to Afghanistan. He swore allegiance to Al-Qaeda and later recanted it. But in 2001, he was arrested back in Mauritania. That's Slahi's backstory. We pick up the rest of the tale from Larry Seams and Hina Shamsi. Larry edited Guantanamo Diary, and Hina, who directs the ACLU's National Security Project, is one of Slahi's lawyers. Hina says American suspicion of Slahi simply does not line up with what is known about him.
The judge in his case in 2010, remember this is the only person who's a neutral person to have reviewed all of the evidence in the case, said any information against Mohamedou was either obtained through torture or coercion or was otherwise not credible. Now, the government appealed that, and the case has been in limbo since then.
He decided to write this diary, more than 400 pages, in English. And this is a fourth language he was only starting to learn. Why do you think he wrote in English?
He has a tremendous innate fascination with language. There's just a passage early in the book where this is after a terrible flight from Bagram to Afghanistan. The day that they arrive in the detention facility, you know, they've been in this freezing cold plane, a 30-hour flight. They throw them in a truck. And he writes, "After I don't know how many hours the plane landed in Cuba, the guards started to pull us out of the plane, and now I noticed that at some point I had lost one of my shoes. After a thorough search outside the plane, the guard shouted, 'Walk, do not talk, head down, step.' Inside the truck, the guard shouted, 'Sit down, cross your legs.' I didn't understand the last part, but they crossed my legs anyway. 'Head down,' one shouted, pushing my head against the rear end of another detainee like a chicken. A female voice was shouting all the way to the camp, 'No talking,' and a male voice, 'Do not talk.' And an Arabic translator, and then there's a redacted passage. 'Keep your head down.' I was completely annoyed by the American way of talking. I stayed that way for a long time until I got cured by meeting other good Americans. At the same time, I was thinking about how they gave the same order two different ways. 'Do not talk,' and 'No talking.' That was interesting." You know, that scene where he's in the middle of this extreme, you know, most extreme moment, you can imagine the fear, the terror, the exhaustion. And yet he's drawn out of himself by just a curiosity about the fact that the Americans have two imperative ways of saying don't talk.
Hina Shamsi, what are the moments that really make up his human moments for you?
He tries to understand his jailers, tries to understand why people would be willing to torture him. And he talks about the kinder jailers who discuss with him theology and politics and give him books and provide a way of him to engage in a really dehumanized environment. And these are people who sometimes come around and say to him, you know, you shouldn't be here.
There's also a lot of humor in his writing, has to be said. Larry, could you read the note he sent to his attorney when that lawyer asked him to write down everything he's told his interrogators over the last 7 years?
He joked, "You asked me to write you everything I told my interrogators. Are you out of your mind? How can I render uninterrupted interrogation that has been lasting the last 7 years? That's like asking Charlie Sheen how many women he dated."
Yeah, one can only wonder where he was watching Two and a Half Men all this time.
Well, I think that's one of the amazing things about him is his cultural references are our references.
What can you tell us, though, about Slahi the person that has endowed him with this morale to keep joking while he's a detainee at Gitmo with no charges and who knows when he's going to get out?
He has a perceptive eye. He has a tremendous ear for dialogue. He has a super sharp sense of beauty. There's a scene where he's being driven from the police headquarters in Nouakchott, Mauritania, to the airport where this rendition flight is coming from Jordan to pick him up. And he describes waking up after a sandstorm while a call to prayer is playing. It's just gorgeous. It's the way he approaches the world and experiences the world. And because he shares that with us, we ourselves can perceive and begin to feel what it's like to be in that situation, not only for him, and I think this is the most important thing to stress, but for his jailers. And he brings them to life for us in a most empathetic and sympathetic way.
The book that's published includes 2,500 deletions, black bars that just make certain things unreadable. Have you found out any pattern to what you think has been censored?
As far as what's redacted generally, I mean, I think it ranges from names and any other descriptive information, including I think there's a particularly aggressive attempt to disguise gender. But it reaches to the point of absurdity. There's an amazing moment where he's being moved out of his cell outside for the first time, and he describes a, you know, a Puerto Rican division of guards, one of whom reaches out and touches him on the shoulder and says, you know, it's okay, you're going to go home soon. And he breaks into tears. But when he says it, he says, I couldn't help breaking into, and then they redact the word. We don't know if he says tears, but he goes on to say, I don't know what's wrong with me, and, you know, just the slightest kind word, and I'll break down. Did they actually delete the word tears? That seems amazing.
How do you know Slahi is not making these incidents up?
Well, because we have this incredibly detailed declassified record that comes from the Defense Department's documents, from the Justice Department's documents. He was one of two special projects interrogations. We know that that plan was amended over a period of months. Originally, instead of moving him out into the Caribbean in a boat and threatening to drown him, they had originally planned to fly him out in a helicopter. And an FBI agent reported that they changed that plan because the general decided that too many people would know that was going to happen.
There are two things, I think, that torture absolutely guarantees. One is pain, and the other is false information. And he says at one point, whenever I thought about the words, I don't know, I got nauseous. Because I remember the words, and the interrogator's name is redacted. And the interrogator says to him, and I quote, all you have to say is, I don't know, I don't remember, and will F you.
Yanez Shamsi is a lawyer for Mohamedou Ould Slahi. Larry Seams edited Slahi's book, Guantanamo Diary. We called the Pentagon to get their reaction to the book. Spokesman Lieutenant Colonel Miles Kagans told us passages of the diary were censored out of concern for national security.
There's 400-plus pages of the diary that are readily available that you can read and are publicly available. Those redaction decisions were the product of lengthy interagency discussions between the Defense Department, Intel, judicial branches to make sure the information released would not harm U.S. personnel or damage national security. Specifically, information was redacted if its release would compromise our anti-terrorism efforts, our operations abroad, or place U.S. troops, government civilian employees, or their families at risk.
As for Slahi's future, Colonel Kagans had this to say.
It's possible that Slahi could go through a periodic review board and be put into a pool of detainees that we call eligible for transfer. Currently, there are 54 men in that pool, and we look for countries to transfer them to or potentially repatriate them.
And finally, the colonel said he might pick up a copy of the diary sometime soon.
I have not yet read the book, but I look forward to reading it, and I've read some excerpts online. It's of interest to many of us in the Defense Department who follow Guantanamo issues, and it's a part of our country's history.
That's Pentagon spokesman Lieutenant Colonel Miles Kagans. You're listening to The World.